Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. Well, this is where we talk with people helping struggling teens and young adults. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com. Today is February the 24th, 2016, and we're going to talk about love and dating, particularly, and the title is Love and Dating on the Autism Spectrum. My guest is Nina Johnson. Good morning, Nina. Good to have you here.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Lon.
Well, Nina is the Director of Enrollment and Outreach for Minnesota Life College, and she's been doing relationship educating since 2005. So, we're going to talk about love and dating and on the autism spectrum. And so my question is, well, what's the issue of the problem? Doesn't love and dating, doesn't that sort of happen naturally?
Well, for a lot of us, it does happen naturally. Sometimes, though, young people with any kind of special needs, particularly those on the autism spectrum, face some more challenges with all types of relationships. It can be hard to pick up on social cues. The young people can be very black and white, which can make understanding some of the social nuances in today's world very challenging. And things that you and I might take for granted related to dating and relationships and finding love can be very, very challenging and seem almost impossible to insurmount for people on the autism spectrum.
Okay, so like things like staring too much or invading a personal space too early might be a no-no?
Absolutely, and even understanding what flirting looks like. There might actually be somebody who's interested in them and trying to let them know that they're interested, and they might not have any idea. Also, a lot of young people, not just the students we work with here in our program, but anybody across the autism spectrum can be very honest, which is a gift, but also can be a challenge. If somebody says, "How do you like my outfit?" they might respond, "That's the ugliest outfit I've ever seen." And that doesn't always lend itself well if you're trying to build rapport or a relationship with someone.
No, you might get your face slapped.
It's possible.
Okay, so what is it you do? It sounds like you need to teach them various things that, I sort of liken it to somebody that's color weak or colorblind. You have to memorize how clothes go together or it'll be atrocious.
And absolutely. Absolutely.
That's sort of what you do, is you sort of teach them?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you have to really start with social skills and just breaking them down. Something we do at Minnesota Life College is a class called 411. But it's and basically the way we describe it is it's the stuff that everybody seems to magically know how to do, and they don't know how they learned it. But it's basically social skills 101, stuff that we take for granted. Understanding how long you stare at somebody, understanding how close is too close to stand to someone, understanding what sarcasm sounds like. So it's those things maybe don't necessarily sound like they have anything to do with love and dating, but you have to break it down to the simplest, most basic social skills first before you can work up to figuring out how to put those skills into practice to attract somebody you might be interested in.
So you're talking and focusing first on how to relate to anybody.
To anybody, absolutely, because relationships in general, when we think the word relationship, a lot of times our head goes straight to a romantic relationship, but a relationship is really just a connection between two people, and relationships happen as friends, within your family, with siblings, with roommates, on the job site, and all of those places are ways, and all of those relationships are opportunities to build skills that are going to make you a better and more competent person in a romantic relationship.
Okay, take note, parents that might be listening. The first thing you need to do to help your child is teach the basics of skills and just what we're talking about. Okay, so you've gone through and done some of the basics and they learned some of that.
Yeah.
How does that evolve into the topic we're talking about, love and dating? What's
absolutely
the next thing that needs to be done?
Absolutely. I think the next thing is opportunities for practice, which sounds a little strange. It sounds weird. We typically don't say go out and ask a whole bunch of people on dates and see if one of them says yes. So I'm not saying that. It's more like finding, almost doing role plays. A lot of times the best way for a young person on the spectrum to learn something and to reduce anxiety that goes along with something new is for them to get opportunities to practice in a safe situation. So basically doing a role play, I've seen it done with a piece of paper with a random photograph of a teenager on it, and basically you're practicing asking out the piece of paper. I've seen people have a hand puppet and you're practicing asking out the hand puppet. But you have to practice knowing what to say, knowing how to say it, what to do if a person says yes. You can't just go, okay, cool, and walk away and not get any more information. But what do you do if a person says no? How do you handle that? So that the next step is practice, 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 and also identifying who are people that might be appropriate to date and who are people you might be interested in dating.
You know, to back up a little bit, I think one of the things that you probably have to teach them is a little bit of the gender roles, because every culture has them. It's a cultural construct, is my understanding. But you have to teach them what's appropriate for a girl. Like, it might not be appropriate for a girl to go up and a guy and ask him out. I know things are changing, but I think those rules still apply. And the boy has to do it tactfully and all that kind of thing. So what's your focus on the gender rules, or does that make as much difference?
You know, I think today, and in today's age with young people, I think that a lot of the gender roles are really changing, and I think that it's important, not only, who young people are dating, but how they're going about dating. A lot of times, even the whole asking out, going and knocking on the door and asking permission to go on a date or calling on the phone doesn't really happen. A lot of times it happens via technology. And I think that, right now the goal is to give everybody practice in asking people out on dates, regardless of the gender of the asker or the askee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's something that, evolve all, all possibilities. So can you think of an example of some kid or kids that had some problems with this area, and what you did, some concrete examples of what you did to help them get through whatever the problem was?
Absolutely. Something that we've done that's worked really well is basically speed small talk. And that sounds a little weird, but basically it's where people come in. Typically it might be neurotypical peers. At our program, it's been other staff. And basically the students get a chance to practice small talk. And small talk is just the start of a conversation. Typically, if you're interested in somebody, you don't just walk up to a stranger and say, hey, do you want to go on a date? You need to break the ice. So we start with that practice of breaking the ice, and you go from person to person to person, and you're expected to make small talk and practice. And it's really hard and awkward, and a lot of times there's some awkward silences, but the more you do it, the easier it is to do. So that's the first step that we've done. We've also done things where we've come up with really easy-to-remember acronyms. We have one that we've used called DATER, and DATER, it stands for D is do your homework, which is where you make sure that the person, you know a little bit about the person. You don't ask a vegetarian out for a date at a steakhouse. A is appearance, make sure that your hygiene is in check and you haven't just eaten a bunch of garlic before you talk to them. T is timing, where you pick an appropriate time, not while they're running to catch the bus or while they're at a job site. E is enthusiasm. You have to practice having the right amount of enthusiasm so you're not so overly excited that you terrify the person, but you also show an appropriate amount of excitement. And then R is response, and it also can be dealing with rejection. So R is what do you do when they say yes, and what do you do when they say no. And so for students, we've actually written scripts, and the students will follow the scripts. At first, they carry them in their hand and practice them, and then after a while, it's something that they can memorize, and then they can just use the script in their brain instead of carrying a piece of paper around.
Does it happen periodically when somebody's trying to follow a script and they get the wrong script, and all of a sudden it gets a little awkward?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, it happens with everybody. Or,
sure.
Or we've had students, we've had students that are, you know, there are young people that are really interested in the weather, for example. And for you and I, we could start talking about the weather, and we know that that's just a lead into another conversation. But for a student that's really interested in the weather, you could all of a sudden get into a 20-minute conversation about cumulus clouds. And they completely forget what the point is of what they were wanting to talk about. So sometimes that's why we get to practice, and you also can practice. And students can give positive feedback. Typically, a teacher or an instructor would be the one that would be sharing maybe things that they might want to work on for the next time, but their peers can give positive feedback of, hey, you did really nice eye contact, or, hey, you gave a great compliment, or, you know, you did a nice job when this person said, no, they weren't free at this time for a date.
So what would be, offhand, the major takeaway you would say for parents that are dealing with a child, that a young adult or teenager that has this problem and needs to know learn some of these social skills? What would be your major takeaway point?
Of course. I think the first one is, you know, is you have to sort of see it in your environment. So sometimes it is actually while you're watching TV or a movie, pointing out and saying, okay, that person is flirting. This is what they're doing. This is the body language that they're exhibiting that shows that they're interested in somebody else. Can you see that person asking somebody out on a date? Here are the words that they're saying. It also is giving that young person an opportunity to practice. Maybe it's that they practice with their parent or with a sibling. Not that they're actually asking them out on a date, but they're just practicing the words that they need to say. And I think also another takeaway for parents is that a lot of young people use technology now. And so technology is something that a lot of us might think, well, how can you date on the internet? But, you know, using a phone and using computer to meet people and make social connections is a very real part of young people today. And so that might be where the person gets their first practice talking and interacting with somebody that they're interested in.
All right. Well, we've about ran out of time. It done by real quickly. But could you give, in about a minute, Minnesota Life College, what it is, who they work with, and what the mission is?
Absolutely. Minnesota Life College is a program where we teach real skills for real life. We serve young people on the autism spectrum and with learning differences, ages 18 to 26. They are people that come to us from 20 states, and our goal is to give them a college-like experience where they can learn skills of independent living, community connections, healthy living, and ways to stay connected and social, and how to find a meaningful job. We have a website that's easily accessible at www.mnlifecollege.org. We're also on Facebook, and we are always interested in having families who might want their students to learn how to live independently to reach out and contact us and learn more.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to talk more to you about this subject or find out more about Minnesota Life College, how would they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So I'm Nina Johnson. I'm the Director of Enrollment and Outreach. I can be reached via phone at 612-876-9431, and I also can be reached via email at njonson@mnlifecollege.org.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Nina. I've enjoyed this, and we could have talked on for longer. I have lots of questions.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. We've been talking with Nina Johnson, the Director of Enrollment and Outreach for Minnesota Life College. And the topic has been love and dating on the autism spectrum. Well, thank you very much, and you have a good day, Nina.
You as well, Lon. Thanks.